that we just heard. What a wonderful and bountiful supply. He's got more grace than we've got sin.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're sin about a grace that much more bound. He's got enough grace to save everybody.
Amen.
Man, that's something, man. I'm glad I got in on this.
Yeah,
I wish I wouldn't have waited till I was 37, but I'm glad I got in on it.
Amen.
And I'm glad to be here. Amen. Now, before we sing, I want to address something that has been brought up to me that I might forget. Several years ago, I mentioned that I applied for a presidential pardon, and some of you participated in praying and even writing letters or sending postcards, however that went. And we haven't heard anything back on that, but according to the Department of Justice website, it's pending, which is better than denied. So that's the update. We haven't heard anything back. We are fully investigated. Had the FBI at my house for a couple hours. They wanted to talk to me. I said, you want to talk to me? You come to my home. You meet my wife. You see where I live. You see how I live. And that just gave me a great opportunity when it was all done to say, now, where are you going to spend eternity, Mr. FBI?
That's right.
And it was his turn to get nervous. And he did. I turned the tables on. And I was a little nervous because, you know, like feds, you know. But I appreciate the prayers. Trump's back in office. He's probably my best shot at getting it. Amen. And I didn't think Kamala would do it. And it really doesn't matter. It doesn't change anything. But that's the update. I want to give you the update. Now I'm ready.
Okay, fine.
Yo. I'm gonna be gone.
Gonna be gone.
In the twinkling of an eye. I'm gonna be gone.
Gonna be gone.
Won't have time to say goodbye. I'm gonna be gone.
Gonna be gone.
Could be while I'm singing this song. I'm gonna be gone and it won't be long. I'm gonna be gone. This world's not getting better every day. It's getting worse. So much fighting and confusion going on down here on Earth. But I won't let it bother me, cause I'm not here to stay. I know my Lord is coming soon and I'll be caught away. I'm gonna be gone. In the twinkling of an eye, I'm gonna be gone. Won't have time to say goodbye, I'm gonna be gone. Should be while I'm singing this song, I'm gonna be gone and it won't be long, I'm gonna be gone. It could be just any morning, it could be at night or noon. We don't know just when he's coming, but we know he's coming soon. I can't say with calm assurance that this world is not my home. One day you may look for me, praise God, I'm gonna be gone. Help us out, I'm gonna be gone. In the twinkling of an eye, I'm gonna be gone. Won't have time to say goodbye, I'm gonna be gone.
Gonna be gone.
Could be while I'm singing this song, I'm gonna be gone and it won't be long, I'm gonna be gone. I'm gonna be gone and it won't be long. I'm gonna be gone.
Amen.
That ain't talking about leaving San Antonio in the morning. Amen. That ain't talking about dying. That's talking about going home and be with the Lord when the trumpet blows. And he's coming. Amen. And it says there in the last line there, one day you may look for me. I hope you're not. I hope you're not looking for me that day. Amen. Bunch of us are getting out of here. I don't know if all of us are or not. But if you're not saved, you're not leaving when he comes back to get his church. And I'm going to tell you what, this life, it's going to get so much worse after we leave. My suggestion, I mean adamant suggestion, is you better get this matter settled.
Amen.
Immediately.
Right.
And then you can smile and sing and clap your hands and sing along because you know what it's all about. You're going to get to go too.
Amen.
I'm glad to be here and I'm really going to be glad to be there.
Amen.
And think of all the time we'll have when we get up there to fellowship and shake hands. I seen churches get out get out of the pew, go around, shake hands, and then like Brother Brent said, I mean, I it's like getting toothpaste back in a tube to get people back in their seats after. This is wonderful. Are you parked over there? Waiting on me. Good thought. Amen. Thank you. All right. Okay, let me, I got something I want to read to you. It's about how to get to heaven. Well, that's a good thing to talk about a church. That's the church's duty, is to point others to heaven. Now, if you're already saved, the church's duty is to tell you how to live, to point other people to heaven. But at the end of the day, this is going to end, and everybody's leaving. I hope, we hope, you go to heaven. Let me give you a little thing here. A man dies and meets St. Peter at the pearly gates. I don't know how he became the doorman to heaven. I keep trying to find it, and I can't find it, but a lot of people seem to think that. Peter says to the man, here's how it works. You need to have 100 points to get into heaven. You tell me about all the good things you've done, and they're all worth a certain number of points, and if the total number is 100, well, you get to come in. And a guy felt pretty good about that. He said, well, I was happily married to the same woman for 52 years. I never looked at another woman. I was attentive to her and loved her dearly. And St. Peter said, that's great. That's worth 2 points. And the guy said, this is going to be harder than I thought. Well, I attended church regularly, volunteered my time, and tithed faithfully. Peter says, wonderful. That's worth another point. The guy said, 1 point. Okay. Well, I was involved with the prison ministry for 25 years. I went into the jails and prisons at least monthly and shared Jesus with them. Even saw people get saved. Peter said, wow. Now that's impressive. That's worth another 2 points. And the guy said, only 2 points at this rate. It'll only be by the grace of God if I get to get in there. He said, bingo, come on in. That's the only way anybody's getting in. Amen. It doesn't matter what you did. Your works aren't going to get you in. Right, only the grace of God's going to get us in. Amen. I hope you're saved this morning. Amen. And I got some good news. The good news is, those of you that are saved, that's good news that you're saved. But if you're not, well, the gospel is still available. Amen. There's still time. Amen. Don't wait till you're looking around going, what happened to all those people at Oak Knoll? That'll mean it's too late. Yeah. Not too late today. Take your Bible, go to Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9. Say, why do you tell jokes or little stories like that? Well, I enjoy myself in church. I think it's okay to enjoy yourself. I think it's okay to have a good time. Right. And there's limits and stuff like that. But I think that's all right. I really enjoy my Christianity. I'm kind of shallow. My whole life has been spent trying to have fun. And boy, did I take the wrong turn early on. But then he found me.
Amen.
And he showed me what I was missing. Amen. And I just have a good time with church. I have a good time with brothers and sisters. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23. The Bible says this. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Amen. How many in here have a favorite verse in your Bible? Maybe you would say a life verse. Some places refer to it as life verse. For years and years, my life verse was 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That verse got introduced to me while I was still locked up. Amen. I had no idea what I was getting into. And the preacher showed me that verse. Said, man, you are in for the ride of your life. And that was an understatement. Amen. Sometimes we'll go to meetings and kids will have you sign their Bible. And it's very humbling. I'll look and see who else has signed a kid's Bible. And there's a couple of people that are worthy of note that I'll mention. And I noticed the verses they put. Dr. Ruckman, if you see his signature in a kid's Bible, he'll always have Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. That verse goes like this. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's the verse that he uses as an admonition, because theoretically, you're going to look the verse up later, and that's a great verse. Brother Jack Wood, pastor over in, was for many years over in Houston, Shady Acres Baptist Church, he would sign Bible Psalm 1, and verse 1 and verse 2, which goes like this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's an admonition right there. Amen. That Brother Jack felt important enough that he would put that in kids' Bibles. And again, for years I used 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But one of the times, far from the first time, reading through the book of Jeremiah, boy, the Lord just brought my attention to the verse that we just read and the verse following, which we'll be preaching out of. Amen. And so I would write that, especially if I'm signing a young person's Bible, I'll sign these verses right there. This tells you what not to do, and then it tells you what to do. And it's very profound and practical for the day and age in which we live. And while mentioning practical, that was a real blessing this morning, Brother Stephen, as he goes through that book that is written to us, that those epistles, 2 Corinthians. So now I add it to my busy schedule. I've got to tune in and watch the Sunday school at this church now, because I really can't be here next week. But I'm tempted, but I'm not. But that was good, and it was practical. It was right where we live. We're talking about signing Bibles. A kid brought a Bible to me one time and asked me to sign it. And like I say, I look around, and up at the top, there's a big ink blotch. And I looked at it, and I realized what it was. It was a preacher that, for some reason, maybe the kid, mom or dad, told him to go have it. But for some reason, a preacher signed that Bible, and that kid, that preacher messed up enough that that kid had to go in and cross it out. And I thought, God, please don't ever let me be a big black splotch or whatever the word might be in some kid's Bible. We're not allowed to discourage anybody. Amen. Amen. I sign mine now often with these verses. A verse that we read, verse 23, it starts like this. Thus saith the Lord. Well, that ought to get your attention. This isn't just another random Bible story. Not that, truthfully, there's any random Bible stories. Everything in there is important. But, you know, it says, thus saith the Lord. You know, that expression shows up in your King James Bible 415 times. I have no idea how much shows up in anything else or if it does. But in my Bible, it shows up 415 times. Here's an example. Isaiah 45 and 18, the Bible says this, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited, I am the Lord and there is none else. That's pretty good resume right there. Amen. There's a lot of thoughts and opinions out there, and if they go against that right there, you ought to go against them.
Right.
It says in Isaiah 48 and 17, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, are you saved in here this morning?
Amen.
Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, I wonder why the Bible has to tell us not to lean unto our own understanding. Because that's exactly what we'll do. That's what a lot of people do, but it's a verse in the Bible. It looks like somebody that might be reading the Bible might need that admonition or ammunition. Either way, it sounds good. Amen. We get saved. We get a little victory in our life. We mature a little bit. And then we have a tendency to proceed based on our experience, our own understanding, our own opinion. And the next verse says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Not some of them. Not most of them. Not when, well, I'm not sure what to do. Let's ask God. Let's get God in on this one. Let's get God in on all of them.
Amen.
And he shall direct thy path. He'll direct our path better than we could. It said, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. I went the wrong way a long time. And I got saved. And I made some bad decisions. And thank God for correction that's available. Thank God for repentance. Thank God. Now I just prefer, I'm getting a little older and I'm getting a little weary. And I just prefer to stay on track. It's less tiring. I want to know what he wants. Don't you? It started out the verse with, thus saith the Lord, and it's kind of, you know, kind of obvious, but you and I would do well to listen. Amen. When the Lord's speaking. Let me give you a hot tip. In order to hear him, you might have to shut up a little bit more. Amen. Yourself.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We learn a little bit, and we get to flapping our gums. And we wouldn't be able to hear the Holy Spirit if he was sitting on the pew next to us. You don't want that. He said, thus saith the Lord. And then the verse goes on and says, let not. Now if it says let not, it means that you have a say in the matter. It says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. So you've got again a say in what you glory in. So it starts out by telling us what not to glory in. It said, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. But wait, I thought wisdom was good. Definitely can be good. It says in Proverbs 4 and verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Wisdom's good, but that's not what you glory in. That's not what you're supposed to glory in. There's always got to be somebody smarter than you in the room. I've never been in danger of being the smartest person in the room. Amen. So I'm not tempted like that. But some people are. I mean, I'll be in a meeting and I walk in, I'm going, well, let's see what this guy's got. And he walks in with an air like, well, I will be a blessing to you, my brother. And I said, you're already not. Amen. Amen. But there's always going to be somebody smarter. Let's look at the smartest person that ever lived. In 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 23, the Bible says, so King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And I give you an example of how smart he was. And I like this story. It's profound. In 1 Kings chapter 3, you got a couple ladies, and I use that term a little loosely, matter of fact. But you got a couple women, they lived together, and they both got pregnant at the same time, both had babies just about the same time. And one of them rolled over on her baby and killed it that night. Tragic. And when she realized that she woke up and realized she had suffocated her baby accidentally, she switched the baby with her friend's baby and put the dead child in with her. And of course, I don't know personally, but mothers can like recognize their own kids, right? So when the woman woke up in the morning, she knew it wasn't her baby. And they ended up going to law. They ended up getting before the king. And the king was presented by this as the one pleaded her case. The living child is mine. And the other one said no. And the king said, all right, this is the original case of she said. Here's what Solomon said. In verse 25 of 1 Kings chapter 3, and the king said, divide the living child in half, in two, and cut and give half to one and half to the other. Amen. Cut that baby in half. Give it. That'll take care of the matter. And his wisdom was obvious when, of course, the real mother would rather give up that child than to see it killed. And that's how she said, no, no. The one said, yeah, that's fair, because she'd already lost her kid. Solomon was a very smart guy, but at the end of his life, in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 13, he says this, and I gave my heart to seek and search out that wisdom, search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under the sun. And here's what he said about it. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. Sore travail means those are terms the Bible uses to describe a woman giving birth to a child. I don't know, but that's supposed to be kind of painful. That's how Solomon described being so full of wisdom. Amen. The Bible tells us, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. People like power. People like power. It makes them feel important. Amen. Some of you old enough to remember Barney Fife. How many remember Barney Fife? Amen. The deputy. Amen. They gave him one bullet and he wasn't even allowed to put it in his gun. He had to keep it in his pocket. And Barney Fife, he was out, I'll tell you what. And he was, he liked to tell people, to make sure people knew he was a sheriff and he was in charge. I remember watching it one time and he pulled his pistol out and tried to get the cylinder open to get his bullet in it. I'll tell you what, I'm glad he didn't get it in it. That guy'd be dangerous. But boy, that uniform, that badge, that possession gave him power. I see it all the time. I see people, they give him a little uniform, whether it's a flagman at a construction zone with the power to say, "You dumb!" And I kind of just veer their way, you know, because I like to see the expression when they think I'm going to run over them in a motorhome. Amen. People just like to have power. Power goes to people's heads. I've seen it in acting NCOs in boot camp all the way to deacons in churches. I was at a church up north one time. I was outside of Detroit, west side of Detroit. And I was giving my testimony. And, I mean, 10 different men, and there's a couple hundred people there, 10 different men introduced themselves as deacon. That was weird to me. I'm from a little church down in Ohio, amen, deacon's a servant. He's not a guy walking around with a badge saying, "I am deacon." So, and I thought that was kind of strange. There's a power there. I would tell you what, that I've seen that split churches. Because people get a little bit too much power. Let me tell you something. You shouldn't need a title or a certificate or a badge, you know, to make you feel important. Amen. You're very important to God. So much so that he gave his only begotten son to make a way for you to be forgiven and to become a child of God. What more can he do? It says, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Might often refers to physical strength. We live in a day and age, you know, where people are worshiping strength and abilities and things like that. We're coming out of a campground one time, and we're back in the woods somewhere, and we get on the highway. There was a big fitness gym, which we're not against that at all, not at all. But, I mean, there are 200 cars in the parking lot. And we're going to drive another 5 miles to a little church on the backside of nowhere that might have 25 cars and try to preach. And my wife makes the comment, didn't even occur to me, but she makes the comment and says, "Boy, that church is full this morning." We're talking about 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning, 9:30. We're on our way to church and no, they were in there already worshiping, I guess, themselves. Amen. That's a wrong thing physical strength's a wrong thing to glory in. It says in Psalm 33:16, "There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength." Amen. Here's a real source of power. You want me to give it to you? It says in Zechariah 4:6, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, amen, saith the Lord." That's where real power is. Amen. And then it goes on, the verse that we read so far. It says, what does it say? It says, "Let not the rich man glory in his riches." Amen. We live in a day and age where so many billionaires, I never even made it to be a thousandaire very consistently. And now they don't even say million anymore. They just go right to billions. Amen. And so we kind of live in a day and age where people are, that's the main thing. But the Bible says it's not the main thing. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. I guess we're supposed to say, it doesn't say money is the root of all evil, and it doesn't. And I'm glad that God has blessed some Christians, because some have been not only generous to us, but generous to the work of God all over the country. Amen. But it says the love of money is, and the love of money is the root of all evil. When I see the word evil, the devil, I mean, some kind of image of the devil comes to mind. There's a connection there. And what we all know, money doesn't prevent sorrow. It often causes it. Money doesn't prevent cancer. Amen. Steve Jobs, or yeah, I guess Jobs, that Apple guy, died of pancreatic cancer with $4 billion in the bank. Amen. If there's anybody that could have pursued any available treatment, he could have, but he couldn't. Amen. Because money doesn't solve that, doesn't prevent it. Money doesn't prevent divorce. Right. Money doesn't prevent suicide. Amen. And once I hear a story about some multi-millionaire killing himself because he finally achieved every goal that he ever had and realized, is this all there is? Not very fulfilling. That's why the passage tells us, let not, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. Like I said, one day I'm reading through my Bible, and I zeroed in on that, and it occurred to me that those are the very things that this world does glory in. Whether it's the academic crowd or the physical, the athlete, whatever, or the guys with a lot of money. Amen. I didn't get cursed with any of that. Amen. I'm not tempted to glory in any of those things. And I read through my Bible and I find out that's a blessing. Amen. Money's definitely the wrong thing to glory in. The best thing about it is you're able to help others. And I tell you, as a young Christian, I watched the generosity of God's people just blow me away. And then as I matured in the Lord, I found out that God has let me get in on the giving part, because that's better than getting. I didn't realize that for a while, but I got it now. Jeremiah wrote that verse about 600 years before Christ. And about 50 years, 56 years after Christ, Paul wrote this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26, for ye see ye calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. And he goes through and he says weak and foolish and base and things that are despised, God calls. And verse 29 gives us the reason why. That no flesh should glory in his sight. You glory in that, in stuff, and you won't glory in Jesus Christ the way you should. That no flesh should glory in his presence. What he gives us there first is what not to glory in. And then, now, the message. That was intro. Now the message. Father in heaven, I thank you for just great grace on a multitude of levels this week. Pray and ask for this hour that something would be said, be a help and a blessing to someone in here today. I pray that if somebody in here is not saved, you'd make it clear to them, they need to get saved. I'm not a salesman. I'm not trying to talk people in this. I'm more like a fireman. We try to warn people about the fire to come. Lord, I pray nobody in this building ends up in hell. Lord God, thank you, God, for those that got saved a couple years ago and that are here this morning. Thank you for Vernie that got saved recently and is going to be baptized today. Thank you, God. Just for continuing to be mindful of us and move in our midst. And I pray that you'd move in our midst this morning and help me to say what you'd have said. I love you and I thank you for Jesus Christ, in whose name I pray. Amen. 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 Verse 24. So he told us in verse 23 what not to glory in. And so that immediately would, I mean, a lot of people come to mind that are glorying in the wrong thing. I'm not talking about believers. I'm just talking about worldwide. But verse 24 says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now, we seem to be wired to glory in stuff, and often it's ourselves. Amen. What a vain pursuit. Wherever you are right now in your life, whatever you got, you think to brag about, look in the mirror in 50 years if you're still alive, and you'll find out that this is a downward spiral till we get to the grave. Amen. Since we're wired to glory and stuff, and he gives us that, those three things that anybody can see that the world is wired to glory in, accomplishments and things like that, he gives us some replacement theology. Don't glory in that. But I know you're going to glory in something, so I'm going to give you something to glory in. Said, let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth, verse 24, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Amen. Now it's Sunday, and Texas is a big state, and there's a lot of churches in Texas. There's a lot of things in Texas. It's so big. But I know this. There's a lot of churches in Texas. There's probably millions of people in church this hour just in the state of Texas, let alone across the country. Amen. And most of them would know the name of Jesus Christ. He said that understandeth and knoweth me. Most people know of him or about him. That's not the same thing. It says in Matthew 7 and verse 21, not everyone that saith to me, unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. A lot of people know the name. Amen. And I'm not talking about people that take the name in vain, like many of us probably used to. I'm talking about people that are in service today, where maybe they're doing some singing about him. Maybe they're talking about him. They know about him. But it says, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Let me tell you, hey, the number one thing you can do that's the will of God is to put your faith and trust in what his Son did on the cross of Calvary. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 says this, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. It is God the Father's will that all men, women, boys and girls put their faith and trust in Christ, come to the saving knowledge of his Son, so they don't end up in that place called hell. He says, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. You'll never begin to understand Jesus Christ until you're saved. Amen. Amen. And scholars and even theologians and seminary scholars, amen, that are smart and read a lot of books, amen. They try to explain all this stuff to us. They read the Bible, and when they come to something they can't explain because they're not saved, they change it. And they've been changing the Bible for a long time. It says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, but the natural man, the unsaved man, not ignorant by any means, not evil, natural man means unsaved man, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You can't spiritually discern the Bible until the Spirit of God moves in you. You can have opinions all day long. You can read the Bible. You can follow Bible principles. You can live a good life if you follow Bible principles. Bible principles don't get you into heaven. Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ is what gets you into heaven. So it says, understandeth and knoweth me, and if you're not saved, then there's no way, amen, you can delight in no understanding and knowing him. Salvation is imperative. Salvation starts here. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 says that if thou, that's personal, that's you. Amen. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, not the head, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Religion, it's all about saying a little prayer. That's not what the Bible says. Bible says you got a grasp in your heart that if you are the only one on the planet that was in danger of hellfire, Jesus Christ would have still went to the cross to make a way for you to be forgiven. That's a little overwhelming if you ask me. Amen. There's much more to Bible salvation than head knowledge and heart knowledge is much more intimate. And after you believed on him in your heart, then you know him. And then understanding begins. And the Bible says this about that. Proverbs 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Boy, I didn't know any Bible when I got saved. But when I got saved, this book became a different animal altogether. Amen. And knowledge of the holy doesn't come from Google, and it doesn't come from, some book in your bookstore. It comes from God's book. Amen. People waste a lot of money reading books about a book that they don't read. I'm not against helps, but don't buy helps in lieu of reading the help that God gave you when he gave you the inspired, inerrant Bible.
That's right.
It says this, that let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Now, first thing you're going to have to do to glory in Jesus Christ is to be saved. And I don't know if everybody is, but I can say across the board, that's the most important thing you'll ever do. And you need to if you're not. And this is the right place where we have people that with the right attitude and the right spirit will spend whatever time it takes. And that gets scary sometimes. People think, I've been in church for an hour and now they want me. No, it's not going to take the rest of the afternoon. If you have an honest heart, we can show you from the Word of God that how easy it is to be saved in a matter of minutes. And if you don't have an honest heart, you'd be wasting all of our times. Amen.
Amen.
But, amen. So he says, understand and know me. And then he says this, that I am the Lord. He's the Lord.
Amen.
He's the Lord.
Amen.
That's not enough for discussion.
Yes.
That's enough for opinion. You need to get a hold of this. If you're going to glory in him, you're going to have to understand he is the Lord. Isaiah 42 and verse 8 says, I am the Lord.
Right.
That is my name. Amen. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images.
Amen.
Isaiah 43 and 15 says, I am the Lord, your Holy One. The creator of Israel, your king. Amen. Let me tell you something. Do not be careful about deifying men. Amen. God is a jealous God. I even in the circles that I've been running in the last 30 plus years, we have a tendency to deify men. We have our favorites and our gurus, and that's fine if they're helping you. But some of the most spiritual ones I ever knew said, beware of doing that.
Right.
And some other ones are soaking in all that attention, and that is not good.
Amen.
Amen. I hope you got that.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. It says in Isaiah 44 and 24, thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, all right. I am the Lord that maketh all. He doesn't get interrupted in your life after you're born, like some people will try to pretend. He formed you in the womb. That's a no-brainer to me. Amen. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone. Like, watch this. And then that, amen. That stretches forth the heavens alone. Some of the guys I know that have been deployed to Iraq. Amen. They'll talk about being out in the desert, being out. And boy, the sky is all completely different out there. Because of all, no lights, no city light, and just the stars. I mean, you get to Montana, you might get a better glimpse than you'd get in San Antonio. But I mean, I don't think we even grasp the magnitude of the heavens that God created with a word. Amen. That's what he's saying. He mentions it. He brings it up. He reminds us. And he said that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. I didn't even need any help. Amen. Looks like Isaiah, he mentioned it several times, the earlier verses, thus saith the Lord, and then these verses too, where it says, I am the Lord. These are epistles, I mean not epistles, these are books given by Old Testament prophets to the nation of Israel, and you'd think these people should know that. It looks like Isaiah was preaching to some people that needed to be reminded who he was. It's possible that I am doing exactly the same thing this morning. I'm not asking or challenging if you're saved or if you love Jesus or if you believe the book. But boy, we get caught up in this busy life, and sometimes we just need to get to a place where we shut off all the junk.
Amen.
And get reminded that he's the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I need it. Charles Haddon Spurgeon's favorite verse was this, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. And there is none else. This is not multiple choice. I'm glad, because based on my track record, I'd have probably got it wrong. There's only one choice. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. He's the Lord.
Amen.
But regardless of what me and you think about that, he is the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm glad he's my Savior.
Amen.
I hope he's your Savior.
Amen.
I hope he's your Savior and your Lord.
Amen. Amen.
There's a difference. Amen. I called upon the name of the Lord to save me from my sin because I didn't want to go to hell. And then I got in the Bible and got around, I got in a church that preached the Bible and I found out that he was the Lord and I made sure he knew he was my Lord. That means you submit to him. Amen. Amen. So there's a difference and I hope he's your Lord tonight. He's the Lord either way. He says, let him that glorieth glory in this, and it says, I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth. I see the word exercise, and if he exercises loving kindness, that means he works at it. Exercise is work. Amen. And he works at being loving, he works at loving kindness. There's a difference between loving kindness and kindness. Amen. As in golden rule, kindness. That's biblical. Luke chapter 6 verse 31 says, and Jesus speaking, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. That's the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Good words to live by. But it looks like as you would have others to do to you, that means kindness is motivated by an expected return. Loving kindness is not. Loving kindness is the kind that expects nothing in return. Amen. The kind that overlooks things that don't really matter. Amen. My mom told me young, and she said, David, don't make a mountain out of a molehill. That's just good old common sense wisdom. I'll tell you something, some of the biggest regrets I've had since I got saved was making big things out of things that looking back were nothing. I'm trying to learn. We try to learn as we mature. Amen. Loving kindness is the kind that makes sacrifices. Amen. Again, with no expected return. For God so loved the world. That's you. That's you if you're saved in here. That's you. For God so loved you. And if you're in here and you're not saved, that's you. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. You die without the gift of eternal life that Jesus Christ paid for with his very life and you will perish. The context of John 3:16 is eternity. It doesn't mean you won't die. You will either die or live forever, depending on what you do with him. Amen. He doesn't want anybody to perish in a lake of fire. And he made the ultimate sacrifice. Amen. We should all, saved or lost. I'm trying to be fair here. Be very thankful that the Lord exercises loving kindness.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. That loving kindness gave you a chance.
Yes. Amen.
And that loving kindness will still give you a chance.
Amen.
Which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. You know, life isn't fair. I mean, it's not. It's not fair. Even says in Psalm 37 verse 1, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Need I be envious against the workers of iniquity. Sometimes it seems like the most wicked are the ones that prosper. While sometimes good people, oftentimes good people suffers. Sometimes it seems like that. But God, even though life isn't fair, and the world's not fair, God is fair.
Amen.
God is 100% fair.
Thank you,
all the time.
Amen.
Verse 2 there in Psalm 37, sir, for they, that's the evildoers, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Amen.
Amen.
It ain't over yet.
That's right.
You know why it ain't? Because God's given everybody a chance to come to the saving knowledge of Christ. And I'm glad he gave me a chance. I sure didn't deserve it. I didn't turn over a new leaf. I didn't make up my mind. I was going straight. I was going straight to hell.
Amen.
And I was honest enough even back then to admit, yep, I deserve it. I don't want to go, but I deserve it. But that preacher told me what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. And it took me a couple of weeks, but when I got alone one morning in my cell and laid that Bible down on the floor, I said, Lord, if what that book says is true, I'm going to hell and I deserve it. But that same book says you went to the cross for me.
Amen, amen, amen.
And if what you did could apply to somebody like me, I'd sure like get in on this.
Amen.
And I didn't have any religious prayer. I didn't even know the word saved. But I knew enough to ask for forgiveness.
Amen.
That's where it begins. Asking God to forgive you for your sin. Serious. Meaning it. In your heart.
Amen.
And He'll forgive you.
Amen.
And if I ask for a show of hands, a lot of hands will go up in this room.
Yeah.
Amen. And if you would, well, it's good sometimes to rethink and revisit and just get Him back to where He belongs in our life.
Amen.
And if you're in here and your hand wouldn't go up, because you'd be honest, I hope you would be honest, what He did on that cross was for you. And our prayer is that you get in on it. And His will is that you get in on it. And Jesus Christ's desire is that you get in on it. And God would love to rejoice before the angels in heaven today over a sinner comes to repentance like He has before in other meetings that I've been here and many times here, and no doubt. It says, loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness, for in these things I delight. And if you want to make the Lord happy, you want to make the Lord happy?
Yes.
You happy that, you know, He saved you?
Yes.
Amen. You want to make the Lord happy? It's not hard. It's not deep. Start delighting in things that He delights in.
Amen.
Quit delighting or gravitating toward things that are pointed out that He doesn't like. That's the flesh. Amen. So what do? You replace your flesh. Man, it's like a magnet. Well, start delighting in loving kindness.
Amen.
In righteousness and judgment. And you and God will be on the same page. Amen. He likes it. I'll tell you this. He likes it when His children take His word seriously.
Amen.
Amen. Some people, their relationship with their Bible, if it extends this far, is carrying it in and out of the church house. He likes it when we take it seriously enough to want to know what He has to say and hide it in our heart. And it's not magic. The Bible tells you, but if you'll do that, amen, it'll give you victory over sin. Amen. He likes it when His children mature spiritually. That's why we have Sunday school hour. That's why we have Bible studies. It's not just, okay, I'm saved now. I'll go to church every Sunday. He likes it when we grow in the grace, because that'll make us vessels meet for the Master's use. As you can see, He's not done yet, or we'd be home.
Yeah.
And the reason He's not home, He's not. There's people that are driving by this church and driving around this very busy city right now, while millions may be in church, that are clueless.
Yeah.
And some of them are going to get saved. If God, people will get busy. I don't know, maybe not many, I don't know. He likes it when His children repent and get right with God.
Amen.
When the flesh wins. I didn't say if, sometimes the flesh wins.
Amen.
And He does not delight in us coming in and out of church pretending like we got everything under control, because we do not.
Amen.
He does. And if there's something that needs to be addressed before the culmination of all these messages you've heard, and the Holy Spirit wanting to work on different things or put things to use, if the hindrance is something going on that you need to repent of, well, this is all for naught if you won't. So let's examine ourselves. Ask God to create in us a clear heart, renew a right spirit. And take what we've done. I mean, this isn't like Christian Disneyland. This is a spiritual meeting to better equip us for the spiritual warfare that's on the other side of these doors.
Amen.
So if there's something needs to be addressed, address it. Amen. Somebody needs to be saved, get saved. Let us show you how. If you're in here today and maybe you got your attention on some wrong things, well, that's why the Lord gives a preacher a burden to preach something to bring us back to zero.
Amen.
Let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Do you know him?
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Which exercise loving kindness. Judgment and righteousness in the earth. God loves it. The verse finishes, verse 24 finishes like verse 23 began. There it is. Thus saith the Lord. They're like bookends. That means it makes it
Very important, those two verses. And they sure got my attention one time years back. So, speaking of very important, I'm going to say it one more time. I'm getting out of the way. Jesus said it. You must be born again.
Amen.
Are you?
Amen.
Let's stand. If you are, you got a lot to be thankful for, and you have a great, great responsibility to live like you appreciate it. And if you're not, what a blessing it would be to make April 13th, 2025, the day you got your sins washed away and became a child of God.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, that's